You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. And listen, this is the show that is the biggest show across the afternoons in North Alabama and points beyond, because we got people in lots of points beyond that listen to the show, and we appreciate that more than you could possibly know. And folks, I got to tell you real quick about one of the members of the Right Side team is Otter Creek Farm. Otter Creek Farm is an amazing oasis in North Alabama. It is so worth checking out. I go out there quite often. Charlene and I go out there to have dinner. I've stayed out there overnight. I've been shooting out there before. I mean, multiple times. And my friends Frank and Jane Brown own the place. Check out their website, ottercreekfarmstead.com. You need a wedding venue? There you go. You want to go hunting like quail or pheasant? There you go. You want a gourmet meal, or you just want to sit by the pool and sip a glass of wine and watch the sun go down over the manicured hundreds of acres by the lake? Just, I'm telling you, ottercreekfarmstead.com is the website. You'll quickly realize why it's so good that Donald Trump Jr. came and stayed there overnight not long ago. Check it out, ottercreekfarmstead.com. All right, next topic. So we got the triple dipper here, right? The triple dipper. Number one, we've been covering it. The whole last hour I talked about the nanny state. I talked about the nanny state is working overtime and wreaking havoc at every single turn right now. The nanny state's modus operandi is to see an issue that they want to address regardless of how deep into your personal business it goes, and then blame you when the results don't go the way the nanny state thinks it should have gone. But they're ostensibly doing it for the greater good, because they are the nanny state, and they believe they should be helping everything, because personal responsibility and self-determination, those are not in the lexicon of the nanny state. Well, number two in the triple dipper for the day, triple dipper, three stories you gotta know, is the fact that Afghanistan's hearings over the last couple of days have gotten extremely interesting. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like, wow. So we've got news now because, you know, I wondered what was going to happen. Of course, there was going to be plenty when Secretary of State or Defense, excuse me, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, when Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, four-star General Mark Milley, and when four-star general of commander of Central Command, which has oversight over the Middle East, when they all came to testify, my thought was going to be, all right, 2 days of obfuscation, 2 days of evasiveness, 2 days of being treated like a hostile witness because they won't answer the questions. Your Honor, permission to take the witness as hostile and begin grilling them because they won't answer a single thing. Well, we actually got some answers. And it became quickly apparent that the Biden administration has been saying one thing when in reality they were told another. It has been incredibly interesting to watch as these members of the Department of Defense and the military chose to go ahead and basically let it be known. They did in fact give advice that went contrary to what the boots on the ground needed. They did, in fact, that the boots on the ground needed but went contrary to what the president wanted. They did, in fact, by the way, operate in such a way as to try to preserve some military presence, and yet the Biden administration refused. They do, in fact, agree that this was a strategic blunder. Nonetheless, the Biden administration has been saying just the opposite. In fact, President Biden even said in an interview with George Stephanopoulos just about a month ago that nobody advised him that he should keep 2,500 troops in place. And now we know differently. Well, we know a number of things different than what's been said. And not the least of which was that we may have to go back. So I got some clips here. And the first one I want to play for you is our own U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, because we have some great connections in this. I find it interesting, by the way, think about this in terms of an Alabama connection. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin is an Auburn graduate. Senator Tommy Tuberville was the Auburn coach. And Tuberville is now grilling Lloyd Austin in the Senate Armed Services Committee hearing. Copper, let's play clip one. Go ahead and get it.
Folks, we are going to pay for what we just did.
Well, I hope the clip was long.
I mean, I've got young kids, y'all got kids and grandkids, and we're going to be back in there fighting. What's your thoughts about that, General McKenzie? And I know, you know, we're not talking about the president. You know, what do you think about the future of what we've got to do in Afghanistan?
So we have very few levers in Afghanistan right now because we've completely pulled out.
Will we be back?
I think we're always going to reserve the right to go in to go after ISIS and Al-Qaeda targets as they present themselves. We've been very clear on that. And that's not going to be easy, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in the closed session. It will not be easy to do that. It will be possible to do that. As for larger engagements with the Taliban or whatever government follows them, I mean, that's going to be a hard road from where I sit, and I see a very small slice of that. That's really a question, you know, for diplomats and others to talk about how our future relationship with the government as a whole will be. But I think my judgment will be they're going to regress significantly in every sphere of activity in Afghanistan over the next few years with the Taliban in charge.
So what he just said there, break it down. Our own Senator Tommy Tuberville just grilled the several members who were there, the two generals and the Secretary of Defense, and literally began trying to hold them to account, much like others did. But I love the fact that it was one of our senators. And in the course of doing so, he asked General McKenzie, the CENTCOM commander, are we going to have to go back? It was a very clear question. The answer was not quite as clear, but when you read between the lines, you know exactly what he was saying. First of all, we reserve the right to go back in. Okay. If we have to go after ISIS or some other terrorist entity. Okay. I get it. We're reserving the right to go back in. But then he went further. If you heard the clip, he flat out said that in his assessment, his four-star assessment, his assessment as the CENTCOM commander with the combatant commander's view of that area of operations, he literally said he fully expects that the governance of Afghanistan will continue to degrade over the next year. And we may very well see I'm putting words slightly in his mouth, but I'm paraphrasing it. We may very well see Afghanistan fall. You know what that means? When you take that into account with other clips of General McKenzie, General McKenzie himself flat out said that he does not believe that we are done in Afghanistan. And I think that's a fair assessment. But now, and one of the great clips that I don't have for you today. So earlier today when I was prepping for the show, I'm watching and Congressman Michael Waltz was a Green Beret, service in Afghanistan himself. He got up there and he literally began to grill them and ask them, if we have to go back, how are we going to do this? Because we gave away everything that we have. We gave away all of our capabilities. We will have to start from scratch. And they agreed. General McKenzie especially agreed. He said, we do not have a base in that area. We do not have a base in any country that touches the borders of Afghanistan. We do not have the ability to do anything but what they're calling over the horizon, which means a 6 to 8 hour flight just to get there, which is going to burn 2/3 of the fuel capacity of the drones and reduce their time on station for drone strikes. I'm just telling you, it's a mess. And McKenzie admitted it, and part of it was Tuberville grilling him on it. Well, we learned a lot more. One of the things we also learned in there, though, was you remember that gap? Think back. I mean, it's only been, what, a month? Month and a half? Think back. Kabul fell. The Taliban marched in lightning capacity across the nation of Afghanistan, taking city by city. Provincial capitals fell at rapid rates. But oh no, we're not going to lose Afghanistan's national capital. Kabul's not going to fall. We got plenty of time for that. Biden himself even said, we don't see that happening. And then it happened. Well, we now find out when Senator Tom Cotton took the microphone that it literally was 10 days after the fall of Kabul before President Biden even asked for a military assessment of whether we should still get troops out by August 31st deadline. Copper, go ahead and, if you would, go and get clip three ready. Let me know when you're there. Clip three is Senator Tom Cotton grilling the members of the three-party panel and asking them, when did you get an assessment request from the President of the United States? Go ahead and play clip three.
Secretary Austin, was anybody asked before August 25th if we should keep troops at the Kabul airport?
Th- this is the president tasked us to provide an assessment on whether or not we should extend our presence beyond August 31st. And as General Milley just said, that assessment was made. We tasked him to make that assessment on the 25th, and he came back and provided his best military advice.
Secretary, Kabul fell on August 15th. It was clear that we had thousands of Americans. It was clear to members of this committee who were getting phone calls that we had thousands of Americans in Afghanistan behind Taliban lines on August 15th. And it took 10 days to ask these general officers if we should extend our presence. I suspect the answer might be a little different if you were asking them 16 days out, not 5 days out.
You hearing that? So what? It took 10 days for the President of the United States, knowing that we had Americans now trapped in Kabul, to even ask for a military assessment of what was necessary in order to accomplish the evacuation, whether we should keep troops there past August 31st. I mean, the whole thing blows my mind. The lack of capability, but we're seeing it now. By the way, the great thing about these hearings is we're actually getting some answers. All right, folks, we're going to go to a short break right now. When we come back from this break, I got another clip that I'm going to play for you. It's an acknowledgement by the Secretary of Defense that this was actually an extremely hazardous environment. We weren't just working with the Taliban who were professional and businesslike. They knew this was a very difficult situation. And 13 service members died. And the story gets deeper from there. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back to break it down for you more in just a minute. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Got a whole audience full of folks out there called Right Side Ruffians, people who look at the world around them, see the liberals for what they are, and say, you know what, not on my watch. And this show is living proof, folks, that you are not alone. You are not alone at all in assessing the world as being sort of out of control when it comes to getting rid of traditional values and stepping on conservative policies. And I'm just going to tell you, it's audiences like you that keep things sane. So thank you for who you are, and I appreciate this audience more than you could possibly. The reason why this show is successful is because of y'all. That's the bottom line. If we didn't have y'all, there wouldn't be a show. So listen, I gotta quickly tell you, too, about my friends at etaxbreaks.com. What a cool business. Can you imagine having a business where your whole job was just to find folks money? Just find them money. Just get out there and find them some money. Well, and I'm talking about money that's sitting there that you didn't know you qualified for. You've already qualified for it. They just help prove it. So they assess your business, and they go out to over 3,000 programs around the nation, and they decide or they find programs that offer tax credits, tax incentives, grants, different things that match the way you run your business. And they go, huh, look at that. We just found you some money. And they only get paid if they find you some money. And last month, they found over $7 million for their clients in 1 month. They've got a special website just for Right Side listeners. Go check them out. It's etaxbreaks.com/rightside. etaxbreaks.com/rightside. So I'm spending some time right now unpacking for you what has been going on in these hearings in D.C. Because we've had the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and the CENTCOM Commander all having to sit before the Senate Armed Services Committee and the House Armed Services Committee and basically give testimony. And it has been amazing because in the midst of all of the usual obfuscation, and I can't tell you now because it's classified, we can talk about it later, and things we can't just, you know, whatever, there actually have been some answers. You know, one of the least of which, not the least of which, is the fact that we got a clip of Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin acknowledging that it was far more dangerous than what the Biden administration was allowing the public to understand through their usual spins. So, Copper, when you've got clip five ready, you let me know. But clip five is our Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, talking about it actually was a very deeply dangerous environment. Go ahead and play it, clip five.
And the circumstances in August were anything but ideal. Extreme heat, a landlocked country, no government, a highly dynamic situation on the ground, and an active, credible, and lethal terrorist threat. In a span of just 2 days, from the 13th to the 15th of August, we went from working alongside a democratically elected, longtime partner government to coordinating warily with a longtime enemy. We operated in a deeply dangerous environment.
There you go. A deeply dangerous environment. When you listen to what he just described, I want you to keep in mind it was a deeply dangerous environment created by the actions of the Biden administration. It was not a deeply dangerous environment that they had to go to because it was dangerous before they got there. Now, Afghanistan's never been like the place where you should go walking around in the dark of night just by yourself, just having a stroll. But I'll say this. What he just described was literally in a span of 2 days, they went from working alongside a democratically elected government to wham, they were gone. And now there were immediate terrorist threats and they were having to conduct non-combatant evacuations. They were having to establish a troop presence that had been removed and now had to be reestablished in an environment that was not ready for a troop presence like that because it was not in a hard stand facility that had been hardened up and prepared for battle like Bagram Air Base was. And all this to say, every bit of what he described, that deeply dangerous environment, was made so by the decisions of the Commander-in-Chief. Do not lose sight of that. As we look at what's happening right now in the world and some of the second and third order effects that are coming down right now because of the Biden administration's policies and decision-making in Afghanistan, keep in mind that deeply dangerous environment that he just described. What he described to you was what the results were of the causation of the Biden administration. They went to cause something to happen, and it was inevitably going to fail, and it did. And it created the deeply dangerous environment that resulted in the loss of 13 more service members and hundreds of Afghan civilians. And the fact that we now have more Americans still trapped behind that they even want to acknowledge. And folks, some of the other things that came out of that hearing, I got more. There were true answers. There were things that were being said. It's as if they've been waiting for the day to be able to say it. And they're even pointing the finger at other members of the administration and other branches of the government. It's amazing. More where that came from. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We're going to keep unpacking the triple dipper of the day. Right now, the Afghanistan hearings. Oh, they're interesting. We'll be right back after this to tell you more. Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Oh yeah, like we always say, solid conservative and just plain right. Got a whole audience full of folks call themselves Right Side Ruffians. Glad of it too. Glad of it. Hey Copper, I'm calling an audible. By the way, you probably saw it. I put up on the board there for you. We're gonna do clip four here next. So go ahead and have clip four in the queue. But listen, folks, it's an amazing thing to watch. As we have these hearings in D.C., most of the time these hearings to me are junk. You know, I'll be honest. They're like political theater. You get them up there and they just wear things out. I mean, I remember things like confirmation hearings for Brett Kavanaugh. It was just sickening to watch. You know, you look at that and you think, I've had thoughts before about whether I would ever run for office and, you know, go to Congress or the U.S. Senate, something like that. And then you watch those hearings, you think, I don't know if I want to be a part of that. But at the same time, I do know that good folks have got to go up there. So some of y'all out there thinking about running for office, I hope you're looking at this. And when I talk about the nanny state and stuff like that, you recognize that we need people like you, folks who have that right side ruffian mentality, that are going to get out there and go, you know what? No. Part of my role in saying not on my watch is to run for office. I spent 8 years in the state Senate. a blessing to me. It was something that I'll never forget, never want to, you know, ever lay aside the lessons learned during that time. But we need more people to run for office, more good, solid conservatives to run. And we got some things happening in these hearings the last couple of days, too, getting back to my original point, that have been actually pretty amazing. We found out any number of things that the administration has said were not an issue. Oh, by the way, they're issues. And let me play a couple more clips for you, and then I'm going to talk through a few stories that I've got here printed out and highlighted and ready to roll. Copper, a clip for you. I saw you got it ready. Okay. So, listen, Senator Sullivan was flat out asking, hey, what is the deal? The president said Al-Qaeda was no longer active in Afghanistan. Was that true? Play clip four.
General Milley, General McKenzie, the president around the same time said, quote, Al-Qaeda was gone from Afghanistan, told the American people that. Was that true or not true? Was Al-Qaeda gone from Afghanistan in mid-August? True or not true?
Al-Qaeda is still in Afghanistan. They were there in mid-August. They have been severely disrupted and attrited over many, many years. They are not.
So it wasn't true. General McKenzie, was that true or not?
Al-Qaeda was present in Afghanistan.
Okay, so it wasn't true.
You hear it? So the president said Al-Qaeda was no longer in Afghanistan. The generals were not going to just sit there and lie because they recognize that they're the ones being called upon to resign, not the president. And so they flat out said, nope, it wasn't true. They were still there. Things like, where was the Biden administration for 10 days after the fall of Kabul? Well, Senator Cotton got that question out. Things like, are we ever going to go back? Clip one, that was Senator Tuberville. Yes, we reserve the right to go back. And oh, by the way, we don't know, you know, what's going to wind up happening because General McKenzie said in his estimation, it's going to get extremely difficult for the Taliban to run the country. He expects things to degrade severely over the next year. Folks, it's amazing to watch this happening. Now, I'm getting into some more stories that I've got here that go beyond these clips, but I got one clip I'm going to play you before I run out of time on those. Because Senator Tuberville, you got clip two? Is that you're saying clip two on that? Okay, good to go. So Senator Tuberville, keep in mind he had a long-time career as a very successful football coach. What do coaches do? They recognize a moment in a game and they call a play that the other side didn't see coming because they saw a weakness. They seized an opportunity. And that's what he did at the end of his questioning, because he totally caught Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin off guard, totally caught him off guard. I encourage you, go find the video. It's up on yellowhammernews.com. Go to yellowhammernews.com. You can find Tuberville questioning the Secretary of Defense and others. But at the end of the clip, the very end, at the end of the clip, he calls an audible. And he literally catches the SecDef off guard by switching gears and saying, hey, by the way, while I've got you here, basically, he says, while I've got you here, what is your position on dishonorable discharges for vaccine mandates in the military? All you folks at Redstone, are you listening to this? This was a U.S. Senator for the state of Alabama, the only one who had the chutzpah to step up to the plate, call an audible, and question the SecDef right there on the spot about something that was not on the agenda because he had the opportunity to do so. Play clip two.
Question off. Are you against dishonorable discharges to the military for not taking a vaccine? You're the leader of the DOD.
I am the leader. We have a non-judicial a UCMJ that really addresses all of the issues in the military and gives our leadership what they need to be able to enforce standards. Taking a vaccine is a requirement. I'll just leave it at that.
And he did. He just left it at that. Let me translate that for you. Yes. All that to say, yes, I am in favor of dishonorable discharges. In other words, I'm the Secretary of Defense. He said, you're in charge. Yes, I am in charge. And what do you think about it? Well, we have a uniform code of military. I wish you could have seen his face. And that's why I encourage you. The look on his face as he realized this was not on the agenda, had that look like, oh, crap. reached slowly for the switch to turn on his microphone. You could tell he was thinking as he's reaching for it. And just basically, without answering the question, answered the question. So, yes, folks, you green suiters out there right now, or you folks that have family in the military who are considering whether or not to get a vaccine still, just understand this. Dishonorable discharges are still on the plate. I do want you to know this, though. Here's a story off the Daily Wire. So that came out of the hearings. It's not necessarily all about Afghanistan, but it came out of the hearings, and so I wanted you to hear it. Well, other GOP senators right now have floated a bill. Senators Ted Cruz, James Lankford, Roger Marshall. I believe that Tuberville is a co-sponsor that would prevent dishonorable discharges. They want to protect members of the U.S. military from being dishonorably discharged for refusing to get vaccinated. It's one thing to be discharged. It's another altogether to be dishonorably discharged. That's what we do to felons in the military. All right? That's what can also prevent you from getting VA loans and medical benefits later in your life. That's what prevents you from getting jobs because it goes on your record almost like a criminal record does. And folks, I'm just telling you, that bill needs to pass. It needs to pass. We need to know that our service members are not going to be dishonorably discharged if they choose not to get a vaccination. But more things came out of that hearing. It's like here's one of the biggest ones. I don't have a clip of this one, but I'll tell you a story I pulled off Fox News right here. Literally, General Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, four-star General Mark Milley, called the war in Afghanistan a, quote, strategic failure. His words, not mine. A strategic failure for the United States. That's a big, big deal. He also warned that the Taliban, quote, remains a terrorist organization. That's the Taliban. That's the one that the Biden administration has been saying has been acting professionally and businesslike. That's the one that the Biden administration was coordinating with for their own security for U.S. troops at the Kabul airport. That's the one that the Biden administration has yet to speak out against in the UN when they had the opportunity just last week to prevent the Taliban from taking the Afghan seat at the United Nations. That's the one that the United States has over $10 billion, $10 billion in funds in U.S.-controlled banks that are frozen right now that could very well get released for Taliban use. I'm just telling you. But the chairman of the Joint Chiefs made it known clearly that he believes the way we pulled out, that the war in Afghanistan was a strategic failure at that point. And he went on to say the Taliban is still a terrorist organization. I mean, this is big doings, y'all. The fact that he said this is a complete repudiation of what's being said about what was said before. But yet Jen Psaki comes out, okay, here you go. I got more paper. This is a subsequent story straight off Fox News itself. Psaki claims the military advisors were split on the troops in Afghanistan despite Milley's testimony. So now you have the president said, nobody ever told me that. Follow me here. The president of the United States to George Stephanopoulos says, I don't recall anyone ever telling me to maintain a troop presence. Milley says, oh no, we told him. We recommended keeping at least 2,500. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin himself said, yes, that information did get to the president. Psaki now comes back, maybe not even thinking that this is actually a contradiction of her boss in itself, and says, well, the military advisors were split. Okay, were they split, or did they not advise, or did they fully advise? Well, the generals were saying the only advice he got was leave troops. Biden says, no one ever told me that. Psaki says some told him that. The White House press secretary goes on to say, but it's the commander-in-chief who makes the decisions. Well, certainly it is. Certainly it is. And you would hope the commander-in-chief also knows how to take good advice. I mean, it's something else. What are you saying, Copper? Say it.
They sound like children who won't admit to stealing the cookie from their classmate. And the teacher's like, well, who did it? Oh, it was him. Oh, no, it was her. Oh, no, it was him. Like,
never mind that I have cookie crumbs stuck to my lips right now.
Grow up. Like, take ownership of your mistakes.
Well, that's the thing. And that is the thing. Remember I talked about the nanny state. Technically, we're kind of still in the nanny state conversation again because the nanny state never takes responsibility. It never does. Ever. And what we're seeing right here, you nailed it. They are refusing to take responsibility. Now, what's also happening is they're beginning to point the fingers left and right. I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like a lot. So you've got, now you've got the generals going, mm-mm, we told him. And then you've got, you know, the the president saying, I wasn't ever told. And then you got Jen Psaki saying, well, some told him. Well, now you've got also that came out in the course of the hearings, Pentagon leaders are now blaming State Department for the chaotic Afghanistan evacuation. And so pressed on the timing of the evacuations and how that went down, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's response was, well, that was a State Department call. Oh, can you hear the horn honking on the bus as it runs right over the State Department? All right, folks, we're headed to a short break. I'll tell you more about that when we get back here in a minute. You might also be curious, what did Senator McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader, have to say? What did your own Alabama Congressman Mike Rogers, who's the ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee, what did he say about Biden's mental capacity in all of this? And did Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin talk about sending troops back to Afghanistan? I got those stories and more coming up right after this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative. Just plain right. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, I got to tell you about my friends over at ZLA Solutions. I know you hear the ads, but you know, here we are. Alabama's got a 3.2% unemployment rate, one of the best in the nation, but there's still people that need jobs. There's still folks that are looking for work. And if you're looking for work right now, ZLA Solutions is one of the best bets you can find for a good job already posted and needing to be filled. ZLA Solutions. Go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLAUSA.com. Jobs posted all across North Alabama. But if you're an employer and you need to fill out your workforce ranks, they can do it all for you. They can do the recruiting. They can do the drug testing, the background checks, every bit of it, all the onboarding, and they will have you a staffing situation fixed up. Just check them out again, ZLAUSA.com. ZLA Solutions. I know these folks personally. They're good at what they do, and they like to say at ZLA, we don't make it. We make it better. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. All right, wrapping up. So the triple dipper for the day. Triple dipper for the day. I spent a lot of time talking about the nanny states in full roll right now. Then I got into these Afghanistan hearings. In a few minutes, we're going to get into spending. The government spending's out of control. But let me just remind you, real quickly, about some things in these Afghanistan hearings, things you got to know, all right? Stuff that I hope I'm even have a chance to even talk. I'm not even going to be able to get into all the second and third order effects of this, but please understand this. The doublespeak right now in D.C. is probably at uncharted levels right now because we're seeing things like they're crawfish and hard because these hearings have actually brought some stuff out. This has been legit, y'all. And has there been, you know, theater? Yes. Has there been, you know, the usual obfuscation and I can't tell you that, Senator, and we'll have to circle back? Sure. But in the middle of it all, we actually got some real answers. One of the most incredible answers was when it came to whether or not we were going to leave troops on station, a 2,500 or so troop presence to maintain Bagram and a presence in that part of the world, the ability to have eyes and ears in one of the most restive situations in the entire world, a place where you've got Iran to the west, China to the east, Pakistan to the south, and the former, you know, the Soviet proxy states, the stands like Turkmenistan and Tajikistan and Uzbekistan to the north. I'm just telling you, folks, that part of the world's a freaking mess. And yet we bailed on the opportunity to watch it. And the military, though, testified in the hearings this week that was not their input. Biden has said in his August interview with George Stephanopoulos on ABC, he was never told by any of his advisors to keep a 2,500 or so troop presence. No, 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 that never happened. However, General McKenzie and General Milley both said, yes, it did. And Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, his quote was, quote, their input was received by the president and considered by the president for sure. They're not taking the blame for that. That wasn't their advice, is what they're saying. I mean, it got a little deeper. I mean, it's interesting how Psaki, those Jen Psaki comes out. So the Biden administration says, okay, Biden says, nobody ever told me. The generals say, oh, we told him. SecDef says, yeah, they told him. Jen Psaki comes back and say, well, it was split. I mean, some told him and some didn't. He had to make a decision. Which is it, folks? Which is it? It goes even deeper than that. General McKenzie went on to say he even expressed the view that the withdrawal of U.S. forces completely would inevitably lead to the collapse of the Afghan military forces and eventually the Afghan government, end quote. Yep. Well, Senator McConnell has come out to speak against this, and he literally says, what a debacle. Quote, what a debacle. We face a greater terrorist threat from Afghanistan than we did before we withdrew. We have less intelligence about that growing threat, and we have fewer tools with which to combat it. And these top generals, said McConnell, gave President Biden exactly the advice the president told the American people he had not received. Alabama's Congressman Mike Rogers, from the eastern side of the state, is the ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee. His quote, he's amazed that Biden would call the Afghanistan withdrawal an extraordinary success. And he literally said, he fears the president is delusional. That's your Alabama Congressman Mike Rogers. And then to wrap it all up, the thing that we don't want to hear but we heard is that Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said that he would not rule out sending troops back to Afghanistan. He said, quote, while I won't rule anything out, I would not say it's preordained that we'll go back, but if we do, the military will provide good, credible options to be able to do that and to be effective. Well, you know what that means, folks? It means we got some answers. It means we got some answers that Jen Psaki didn't give us. It means we got some answers that contradict what George Stephanopoulos got out of the president. It means the general said, you know what? No. That was not our advice. And yet, here we are. All right, folks, listen, we get back. I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to part three of the Triple Dipper for the day. Afghanistan was part of it. The nanny state was part of it. Now we got to talk about some government spending, because I got a whole bunch of you out there in this right side ruffian audience that work for the government, whether you're in uniform or not. And you know what's happening right now. Pending shutdown of the government. What's going to happen? We'll be right back with more on that.